This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is Ask Bill, and we've got some great questions that came up that we're going to address in just a few moments. But before we do, I just want to check in with you guys and see how you're doing. I hope you're doing great. I mean, there are some wonderful stories I've been hearing from a lot of our listeners. And hey, if you've got a great story to share, give me an email. I'd love to hear about it. You know, be an encouragement here because we're all in this together. We're all digging in this and trying to make this real estate investing thing work. So if I can be of any service, just let me know. Just a couple of quick updates. I think I mentioned that we are hopefully closing in on a apartment deal before year end. I'm hoping that it all comes together. Those that are on our investor mailing list will get information on this as soon as it comes out. If you're not on our investor mailing list, you can go to ManiceroProperties.com and there'll be a link in today's show notes. Or you can just through our weekly newsletter, you can sign up that way. So if you aren't receiving it already, just you can also go to olddogsreinetwork.com and sign up there. I also mentioned last week how we're in the process of positioning our Memphis properties for special needs housing, and we are currently in that mode right now and are continuing. I'll give you more updates as we proceed there. And, of course, a final reminder on our contest. This is the last month here, so if you haven't stopped by iTunes and left us a review, this is the last month to do so. We've got some great gifts, a free podcast demo episode from Mino Studios, the producers of this show, and 4 hours of free coaching from yours truly are just some of the prizes available. So we hope you'll stop by and do that. That helps us to get our word out and message out to all kinds of folks out there that also are interested in real estate investing in their retirement years. Well, anyway, let's get on with our show. This is our monthly Fun Fact Friday Ask Bill episode, where I answer specific real estate investing questions received during the month from emails, in-person conversations, phone calls, or through online portals such as BiggerPockets and Quora. One of our goals here at the Old Dogs REI Network is to help you to learn more, to educate you and enlighten fellow real estate investors, to share what knowledge we have by answering your questions, and to help other investors to broaden their understanding of real estate investing and to hopefully avoid some of the mistakes that can cost you later. Well, let's go on to our first question here, and this one is from Fani. I'm going to do something a little different on this question. I'm just going to answer as I go through their question. So I haven't done that before, but just this is kind of how, when I have conversations with people, whether I meet them in person or by phone, this is one of the ways that I have been able to, address people's questions. So Fani writes, she says, my husband, 42, and I, 44, would like to start investing in real estate rentals for passive income in retirement. That's a great thing, Fani. I am totally stoked. I think it's a good move. She continues, I feel that we're too late to get into this, but hoping there's still time. Let me insert here. I think that it is never too late. I think you've got plenty of time ahead of you, and you can do some great things in the years ahead that you have. She asked, we used to do online selling until it didn't do so well. And I also had that same experience when I was in Haiti. I did an online business, did real well, but then boom, it just you know, they pulled the plug on my eBay account and didn't work. So I understand that. She says, we have 200K saved, but the problem is that we both don't have W-2s. My husband just started working in July of this year. We want to use leverage instead of paying in cash if possible. What's the best strategy considering our situation? Would you suggest we start buying in cash or wait until my husband has worked for 2 years? Okay, and so there's a lot of stuff there, and let me just kind of address those. One, 200K is a great start. Yes, you probably want to do that in smaller chunks. Because of your age, you still have some time for leverage, and you could break that up into a lot of down payments for properties that you'd be purchasing. But I also get what you're saying about the cash part of it, that, yeah, it really is an advantage. And I think it was the last week that I had an episode on how to retire in 5 years. And we talked about buying $50,000 homes. With that amount that you would have, you could buy four $50,000 homes and get a great start. You'd own them in cash, you'd own them outright, and be generating some good income if you, get them in good areas with a high rent and can use that. Now, you can leverage later on, but I would really kind of suggest that you do take the cash route, because I think it's a little bit better in terms of the economy and the possibility here, and more than probably a possibility, but there's going to be a market correction. And if that market correction hits, you don't want to be holding a big mortgage, or a bunch of big mortgages. So that's kind of what I would say to that. I think that your husband, in terms of his job, this would also give him time to get some time on the job, which would give some leverage on the loans. You can still get loans without having a W-2. It's a little bit harder. It's basically they'd be looking at your 1099 income, but there's a benefit to having that W-2 income. And then her last part of the question, she says, I would also like to ask about our 17-year-old daughter. She'll be 18 in March and has been working part-time at a tutoring center for 2 years. Can she start purchasing rental property once she turns 18? We hope that she could start investing in rental properties as early as possible. This is almost identical to my son's situation. He worked part-time at a grocery store, so he didn't have a huge income. He was almost making minimum wage. And so he actually applied for an FHA loan when he moved to Idaho to go to school, because he wants to house hack while he's in college. And he got qualified for the loan. He got okayed and approved for the loan. And it was a smaller amount because he didn't have a huge income, but it was enough to be able to buy a home. So that is something that your daughter can do, and she might want to look into it. Now, that granted, with an FHA loan, you have to live in the property. So that would be something that she'd have to do. So I think hopefully we'll help you out on that one. Thank you very much for your question, Fani. Well, let's go on to question number two, and this one's from Patricia. She says, I'm writing in hope to have your feedback and advice. I'm a newbie in Washington flipping houses. I recently flipped my last flip. Unfortunately, this one was filled with unexpected expenses. It's a 5-bedroom, 2¾ bath purchase in a foreclosure sale. We had planned to spend $100K in rehab, and unfortunately, we spent approximately $160K. We had to pass plenty of inspections, and the price kept adding up. The condition of the house we bought was terrible, filled with mold and missing trusses, and we got it with a hard money loan of 90%. Now, finally, the house was on the market for 25 days, and we are not getting any offers. In hopes to at least break even, we put it on the market at $547K. Okay, we lowered that price to $527K, and still we're getting nothing. Market here in Washington has been really slow, and houses around are lowering prices too. At this point, I can't keep lowering the price since I already accepted a loss of approximately $15K with the price at this low price that it's at. Do you think I should refinance and rent it? I can't get any more extensions from my hard money lender, and interest rates are rising and home prices keep dropping. And then she gives me the address of the property to check it out to see what I could find out. Well, Patricia, thank you for your question. First off, let me say, before anything, I have never flipped a house before, so I am by no means an expert. But I do know lots of flippers, and I have and had a number of them on the show here. I feel bad for your situation. I know that that can be really, really tough to get stuck with that. Unfortunately, flipping has a certain degree of risk, especially in markets that may be near or top of the bubble in terms of the real estate cycle. Washington has been a hot market for a while, and while some markets are still going up, others are cooling off, and prices are coming down in certain areas. Flipping in that kind of a market really increases your risk substantially. When the market is cooling, it just seems... When the market is cooling, it just takes longer to sell homes. Now, what sold in 30 days before now may take 60 to 90 days. It's tough to say. You may be able to market the house maybe a little more aggressively. I know one flipper who puts plastic flamingos all over the yard, gives away prizes and has contests and packs the house full of friends and other people to create sort of a buying frenzy. And that's been a way he's been able to move some of his flips. But if the price isn't right, then it could mean there's not much you can do. You may just have to take the loss. Unfortunately, you encountered one of the most common mistakes newbie investors experience. But don't be discouraged. Jay Scott, who was a guest on our show, episode 109, and who wrote the best-selling book, The Book on Flipping Houses, had a similar experience when he first started out in flipping. It was with a lower-priced property than yours, but the situation was similar. He had overpaid for the property by at least $10,000, and he underestimated renovation costs by about $15,000. He also overestimated ARV, after repair value, on the price to sell the home for. When it wouldn't sell, he decided to hold on to it and rent it out. He ended up holding on to it for 2.5 years. During that time, he tried lease options, but couldn't get tenants to qualify for refinancing. He decided to do more renovation and eventually ended up selling it 3 years later. He made only a $1,000 profit. He had basically made every mistake you can think of on a flip: overpaying, underestimating rehab costs, and overestimating ARV. But he wasn't discouraged, and he kept plowing forward and ended up buying, building, rehabbing, selling, lending on, and holding over $40 million in properties. Today, he is very successful, and his focus is more on actually buy and hold multifamily investing. But he's done tons of flips, and you just, you know, sometimes you take the hits, and you just got to keep moving from there. So don't be discouraged by this temporary setback. I would probably, and again, this is my inexperienced advice here, but I would say go for the refinance, rent it out, you know, collect the rental income. You're going to be making a return on your money there. Try to make the best of it until prices rebound, or you can maximize your rental later on in some other way, maybe even doing Airbnb or something of that nature. I would also recommend, too, that you contact Jay and see if he might have some other suggestions. His email is jay@123flip.com. He would be glad to help you if he can. Well, hope that works out for you. Let's go on to question number 3. Starting out with a W-2 job and finding a mentor. This one's from Matt, okay? And it reads this: Hello, I'm a new investor in the Columbus, Ohio area and seeking guidance on what path to take with my first property. I have some money saved for a down payment and I'm working not a normal W-2 job currently, so I'm leaning towards multifamily in the hopes that I can get financing without that normal job. I feel like a good mentor would be super beneficial to me, and I'm seeking that person. Do you do any kind of coaching or mentoring? Would love to speak with you on this. Well, Matt, thanks for writing. I really appreciate it. And congratulations on your move into real estate investing. Columbus is a great market, and I think you will do well. Also, multifamily is a great route as well. If you purchase 5 units or above, it's considered a commercial property, and the lenders look at it differently. You're right. They will still look at your credit scores and income, but the biggest factor is the business plan for the property. Having a W-2 job is not as important. If you can present a strong plan showing how the property will become profitable, they will weight that in their approval decision based upon the plan. Commercial lenders look at your property investment as more of a business than just a property. It's not like a single family home that's considered primarily as a residence. The key is to find a good local lender that you can work with, not a big chain bank like Chase or Wells or Bank of America, but one that would be considered a portfolio lender, a smaller local bank that is a little more flexible to work with and can help you in your future purchases as well and your real estate business as you grow it. I would network around your community, attend local REI meetings, service club meetings, go to biggerpockets.com and ask people in your area that are Big Pockets people and ask them who some of the local lenders in the area are that are good with real estate investors. Also, regarding a mentor, too, you are definitely doing the right thing by seeking a mentor, because when you buy your first property, there's a lot of mistakes you can make. And this is something I can't emphasize enough. A good mentor will help you and save you from costly mistakes. You'll still make mistakes, but you're less likely to make the big ones with a good mentor. I don't do coaching or I would help you, believe me. It's not because I don't want to, but I really had to make a decision at one point what I wanted to do, and coaching just didn't fit. I still consider myself a newbie in many ways, and so I figure maybe with that 20 years experience, it might be different. But also there's the reality that I'm just way too busy right now looking for deals, managing properties, and running the Old Dogs REI Network podcast and website. So there are plenty of great mentors out there, and you just need to be picky. And there are two basic types of mentors that you might want to consider. One that costs you money, okay, and that may range from a few thousand to $20,000, $30,000 and above. And they have formal coaching programs with boot camps and seminars and webinars, training videos, booklets, and so forth. And then there's the other type, which is just somebody local who's a successful real estate investor who is willing to work with you. And in situations like that, it's a little bit harder to find them, but you can find them at local REI meetings. You can try Bigger Pockets to connect with local guys in your area. Or you can do some research and try to find people that are really doing well with real estate and maybe guys that hold a number of apartment buildings in the area. It's just going to take a little bit of groundwork there. So, you can do that when you're working with a mentor, though. I recommend you go in there first looking at what you can offer to them and how you can help them. If you're an engineer, for example, maybe you might want to help them with their computer system or develop and refine some of their spreadsheets or for market analysis or property analysis. Or graphic artists, if you might want to help them with that. Whatever your skill is, bookkeeping, even just getting on the phone and making prospect calls or driving for dollars, whatever will help them, file papers. But never expect to get, something for nothing. You need to be willing to put in the time to get the help. Well, that is really it for today. I hope that some of those questions and answers help you out. Please note everything I've mentioned here, and there are going to be some links in there. I'm also going to have some links on some of the shows we've done on mentors that'll be included in there, and you could find out a lot more in depth how to find a good mentor. That'll all be accessible on the olddogsreinetwork.com/blog area, okay? So our website, and you're going to look for the latest Ask Bill episode. So until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.